right. That was a nice, pleasant thing to end Around the Town Sounds and to start the full throttle hell that is the Mascot Wedding Show. Thank you very much to Nick for filling in this week. The time is 6 o'clock. You were listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Excuse me one second. Smooth as silk radio. That's right. Oh, you might hear laughter in the background. You might not. I don't know how good these microphones are. It's co-op. I don't know. They're probably not good. But you hear the laughter of a guest. We got a guest coming up. Mac Blake's on assignment. So we're going to do something else entirely. But first, we're going to start it off with Weezer. Don't let go. Mascot Wedding Show starts now. Hey, all right, let's see, doing something real quick. The time is, I'll yell at you while I figure stuff out. The time is 6:04 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dollar, online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hatta, and this is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you may. Please do. The phone number is 472-5667 nationwide, 888-917-5667. Or tweet at us. We're at Mascot Wedding. You tweets it, we reads it. The opinions expressed on this show are only the opinion of those who said it. And not of anyone else. Not of Co-op. Not of Nick, who just did Around the Town Sounds. Not of Alan Campbell, not of Art Baker, who does that marijuana appreciation show every Sunday.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're not up. Hang on. I needed that. Oh, God. There he is. We'll save him for a second. But you'll notice I did the intro by myself because Mac Blake is on assignment this week. I'll be doing the show solo. Wait a second. I won't be doing the show solo. Shut up. Weird energy already.
Seriously.
But that second voice you hear is a regular here on the Mascot Wedding Show. You know him from Stag Comedy. You know him from his band Ghost Word. You know him from this show. Please welcome back to the show, Andrew Rosas.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure as always.
Yes. Thank you for filling in on semi-short notice.
You bet. Mac is on assignment.
Yes, he is. I don't know if he'll want me to say it.
He's doing the Lord's work.
He's doing the Lord's work. Exactly. He's at that Jack Lord convention.
Yeah, exactly.
For Hawaii 5-0 fans.
Yeah. Who's been gone a very long time.
Yes. And so someone's got to do all that work.
All that work.
Someone's got to get all those newspapers from his driveway. The fact that nobody bothered.
One of those plants.
Just so unloved in life that when he died, no one bothered to cancel his newspaper subscription.
Yeah, exactly. Just the shadow of a man.
Just instead of the newspaper guy like getting wise to it, he just like walks up and like tries to fit it into the pile. Like instead of making a one phone call to the newspaper guy, like, yeah. Hey, I think we should stop.
I think we should. He might be dead.
Yeah, he might be a jackass too. Keep delivering. The newspaper guy's so mad at him.
Yeah. This entire scenario is nothing but angry, angry people.
People, like, yeah, exactly.
Powering through their jobs at all costs.
Like some weird, like, third act of Magnolia where everyone's life is just colliding, but they're just on, like, at the end of their wick right now.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's at 11.
They just can take it no more. We just heard Weezer from the Green Elm. That was Don't Let Go. That was the first song off the Green Album, and that was off the request line, let's say, because I was having a Saturday morning dance party with my lady friend Maria Menounos.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, well, Saturday morning dance party as we do.
Uh-huh.
And some Weezer came up off the
Shuffle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was off the Maladroit album, though.
Oh yeah.
And we still enjoyed it, which led to a discussion about. Post-Pinkerton Weezer.
Sure.
Like, I don't think people give enough credit to the Green Album and to Maladroit. Like, I still think those are really, at worst, decent albums. I would say they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think Pinkerton and the Blue Album are arguably some of the best albums of the decade.
I would agree.
They're just super catchy pop and
it's great.
Well written albums. And then I think, you know, as you moved into like the Green Album and Maladroit, and as like they started to continue their trajectory, it became less, I don't know, like less catchy.
Yeah.
In the traditional sense. I don't know. It just like the pieces from a different puzzle. Like they just didn't add up. It didn't feel right.
And it's also like, man, that is the saddest trajectory. Because in terms of timing and in terms of development, because they had the Blue Album, which was a bolt of lightning. Like,
yeah.
It was, I don't want to say perfect, but it was really like, it really was lightning in a bottle. Like this perfect poppy album that fit in at just the right time. It wasn't grunge and it wasn't too silly.
Right.
It was great. It was the perfect.
It was fun.
Yeah, exactly. Sing-alongable. The most sing-alongable album of
all
time.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. My goodness.
Yeah. And so people wanted to know what was next. They were clamoring. They were, you know, with bated breath. And then Pinkerton came out.
Yeah.
And it was, let's call it difficult. Because it wasn't catchy and it wasn't poppy in that same way.
In that same way, yeah.
Like, time vindicated it.
Sure.
Because it's a great album. Sure. But it just wasn't the Blue Album.
Right.
So he followed that up with, like, 4 years of exile. And that was the worst time to take that sort of...
Oh, that break? Yeah, exactly.
Like, you either need to strike again or just don't strike at all. Like, maybe that's your legacy. Like,
Or just maybe go, like, super mystique with it and just disappear.
Right, exactly. Like, just go, like, Sid Barrett or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, just become so mythologized.
just be Prince and have, like, 15, 20 records unreleased in your basement.
Which, apparently, Rivers Cuomo does.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And he could have totally done that. But then, like, he comes out with the Green Album... People wanted, like, and then in those 4 years, people grew to appreciate Pinkerton in a way they didn't when it first came out. And so they were like, okay, now we're ready for Pinkerton. And it wasn't Pinkerton.
Yeah.
So it's like, geez, what are you gonna... And now they're just like, I don't want to say, they're CRAPing stuff out.
Well, I remember this was, I guess it was a couple years ago, maybe a year or two ago, whenever the Weezer record of that time came out and like their single, and there was just like people like online going, have you heard the single? Have you heard the single? Uh-huh. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go hear this now. And it was probably one of the most awful things I'd ever heard.
Do you remember
heard.
Which one it was?
I don't because okay. I listened to about like maybe 45 seconds of it. And I was like, I can't do this. Like this is... Yeah. It seemed like a joke. Like, it seemed like this could not possibly be the single that they're releasing.
Well, because for that album after Maladroit was Make Believe, and the first single off that was Beverly Hills. And it was it was basically about sort of like, hey, look at me, I'm, you know, rolling fat. That sort of like...
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I remember that too.
I don't want to say something that's going to rub someone the wrong way, but it was like middle-class white guys talking like they're rich ballers, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
But and it was like, is this a joke? Like, is this sort of the, you know, are they juking us? You know,
right.
They'll move one way and then release like this great album. No, that was the album.
No, that was it. Yeah.
That hunk of junk.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it was not tongue in cheek at all.
Yeah.
Because it could have been the most tongue in cheek thing ever.
Oh, totally.
But was not.
Like, if that was a viral thing and it was like, hey guys, look at us. We sold out. Ha, just kidding. Here's a great record. That would have been one thing. But no, it's like, haha, guys, we sold out. Here's the rest of the record. Oh, wow. You got more songs on here, but We Are All on Drugs is on here and stuff like that.
Oh, yeesh.
Yeah, and then that became like gimmick rock in the way that like not Weird Al Yankovic is, you know, because Weird Al Yankovic is still like clever.
Oh, yeah.
But then like Weezer had that video where it was like all the YouTube sensations were on it. Like... The Chocolate Rain guy was singing along to it, and like the Leave Britney Alone guy.
Yeah, it was a pop culture catastrophe. Like,
yeah,
it all just came to a head in this like one.
It totally was
kind of terrible moment.
Oh. I thought that was going to be... My phone buzzed.
Oh, you thought it was a tweet?
I thought it was a tweet. It was the score to the Astros game.
I thought it was going to be at Rivers Cuomo. Hey!
Exactly.
Or hey! Wherever he talks. I don't know. He's probably totally sweet
it's,
guy.
It's me, Rivers Cuomo. I'm the son of the guy from Coach. Well, let me ask you this, though.
That's how he introduces himself. Yeah,
it's on his the guy from Coach.
It's on his business cards. It's weird that you have business cards, Rivers Cuomo, much less.
That's weird. I was going to use this as an insult, but it's on your business cards.
This clearly doesn't bother you.
Son of the guy from Coach. But let me throw this out at you, though.
Sure.
And we could segment this, or we could break this up into parts, but the general main question right now. Would you rather be like the entity of Weezer, or would you rather be the entity of the Doors?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Actually, you know what? Oh, okay, go ahead and answer.
Okay. You know. Yeah. The radio audience probably doesn't know. Uh-huh. I hate the Doors.
As well you should. They're terrible.
Hate the Doors.
Yeah.
And so I have to go with, I would rather be the essence of Weezer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they're like late 30s, early 40s right now, right?
I think late 30s.
Late 30s?
Yeah.
They've still got so much time to like make music and stuff. Whereas like the entity of the Doors, it was just this like drunk dude flailing yeah. around on stage while a legitimately great band played behind him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, man. Could you imagine like if that happened? Has that happened today where like... these competent, talented musicians have been taken over by like this guy who like
buffoon
should have started Burning Man.
Yeah,
he really just like I'm the Lizard King. Like, really?
You're so sweaty. We're in a movie theater. It's so cold in here. Why are you sweating?
There are fans blowing on the stage. Mr. Mojo Rising. Like just throwing out just garbage lyrics.
Oh man.
But you know he was charismatic.
Sure.
Let's say. I'm just going to go by.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going
to... According to this book jacket, he was charismatic.
Exactly. According to this picture I found at this faux 50s diner, who just scrambled for 8x10s of anybody and threw Jim Morrison on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like sexy in his leather pants and like his Val Kilmer face.
Sure. Oh, they are the same person, by the way. That was like...
It was uncanny.
That casting director just was like dusting his hands yeah. like... And hands behind his head, feet on the desk.
There really should be, like, here comes another tangent. There really should be, like, a casting director Oscar.
Someone who just totally nails it. Yeah. Like, that's one of the best.
Because, like, I mean, you look at, like, Jamie Foxx was good in Ray.
Sure.
Let's give him credit for that. But was it an Oscar-winning performance? I don't know, because he was just doing an impersonation.
Yeah.
And same with, like, Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line.
Sure.
They did very good impressions. But they didn't, like, bring anything to the part.
Right.
Who really should have gotten the credit for that was the casting director for saying, oh, yeah, you look like Johnny Cash, and nailing it. Just hitting it out of the park.
Right, exactly. Someone just, yeah, beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
done. And it being, and then it's up to, like, it's like, all right, I get you to third base.
Yeah. Like, bring us in,
you know.
You could sack fly it.
Yeah, and, exactly. And then, nope.
Yeah. Because, like, even going back to Magnolia for the second time in this show, like, that cast, pitch perfect. In every single role.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, for them to get, like, Tom Cruise was, what, sixth billed in that movie?
Sure.
Like, for him to sort of ingratiate himself, or not ingratiate himself, but, you know, like, lower his command.
Right.
To do this role that was probably his best role ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's, yeah, kudos to that casting director. Kudos to casting directors everywhere.
Yeah. Casting directors, you're underappreciated. You're amazing people.
Yes.
So I guess what we're trying to say is...
Jim Morrison's terrible.
All that is to say.
I wish he hadn't died so he could have just lived in that like late Jim Morrison era when he was like walking around France in sweaters and khakis. Like, that's like, what I wanted to
like
see.
Like a Lands End catalog?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wanted to see the Doors fans just completely turn on him and be like, you changed. You used to be about the pants. Like, now he's just walking around in khakis. That fat oaf.
Just like the MIDI version of... Oh, man. I can't even... I hate him so much.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Sorry.
Bottom five ever of all time. Dictators included.
Well, I'm 20. I think when I turned back when I turned 27, I'm 27 right now. I was joking with you about how the fact is like, I just need to make it to 28. Like that's just like, I'm just head down, make it to 28 just cause I don't want to be uttered ever in the same breath with Jim Morrison. Like that's all I'm looking for.
That's the thing that you're worried is like, oh, I hope I don't die when I'm 27. So I'm not associated with Jim Morrison.
Yeah. It's not the young age.
What is going on in your head? You ass.
I'm a monster.
Oh, I know people are just going to, they're going to be dying to compare me to Jim Morrison when I die.
That was the joke.
No. Let me hammer it home. Let me really get to the meat of it.
Yeah, please do.
Let me do this. Let me throw this comparison out at you. And my answer is going to be a bit of a curveball.
Uh-huh.
Who would you rather be, the entity of Weezer or the entity of Nickelback?
Okay, because you say curveball, because I would probably
what is your answer?
Well, I would still say Weezer.
Of course you would.
Of course you would. This is like, are you about to like pull a book and a bookcase is about to turn around? Yeah.
What I'm saying is, why are you comparing yourself to Jim Morrison?
You bastard. Oh man.
But I was thinking about this and like, here's the thing. I think we're down on Weezer. Because they started off so hot and they were so great.
Yeah.
Like their first, like you said, their first two albums, I would put those up like all time against a lot of records.
Sure.
But they fell from that and now we sort of vilify them for that. Nickelback, however, has always been Nickelback.
Has never been,
like,
yeah.
There's nobody who used to be a fan of Nickelback and now they're like, oh yeah, I really liked their old stuff on like Sub Pop. And now,
yeah,
now
exactly.
They sold out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they went to Universal. This stinks.
Yeah, they made garbage all the way through.
Yeah.
But they made millions of dollars. Like, they are the success they wanted to be. They never compromised anything because they didn't have much to compromise.
Sure.
But, like, they made it the way they wanted to make it.
Sure.
I mean...
I see your point. I think that's a, that's a totally valid point is, like, you know, whether or not... You want to sort of have that, I don't know, that fall or that, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
You could be doing something so great and then have that, like, you know,
and then just
fall
like
from grace, but
be vilified for keeping on.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're still going.
Although, I mean, I think there has been a Nickelback backlash as of late, or not backlash, but like, like people, I think people like, critics and just, you know, human beings are just a lot more vocal about their complete and utter hatred for Nickelback.
I agree. And actually,
like, there was that like app that you could, it would find friends on Facebook that like Nickelback.
Yeah.
So you could unfriend them.
Yeah.
Like, good Lord. Like that's going out of your way.
Oh yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's so unnecessary.
Yeah. There's that app that puts that Hitler mustache on Chad Kroeger. Like,
yeah.
That sort of thing. It's like, oh yeah, this is great. Yeah,
it's like that Pop-Tart app. It's just like,
man, how hard is it to make money in this world? Seriously. It's not that hard. But that's the thing, though. Like, in our circles, Nickelback is a punchline.
True.
But there's a great big country out there.
Yeah.
And
they are beloved.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, like, oh, this burned me up. Unreasonably so. But, like, the lineup for ACL came out this year.
Sure.
And they sort of, like, when they released the full lineup, they're not ranked in order of importance, but they kind of are. Like,
well... The subtle ranking of big font to small font.
Exactly. Like, yeah, the like, subtle ranking. Yes, exactly.
Very subtle ranking.
Where like, you have to turn the paper over to see.
Right, exactly. It's like a Wonka contract. It just gets smaller as it goes down, just illegible.
Yes. But, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers headline, they're the big, you know, big name, that sort of thing. And then you get smaller, and then you get smaller, and then you get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And Weezer was on the same line, and I beat, and I believe behind, if you're reading it left to right, Gautier. That one-hit wonder Gautier.
Flash in the pan.
Yeah, exactly. But they're of that same bill. And I know, you know, it's all relative. It doesn't really mean anything, but it kind of does. Like, say what you will about Weezer, but they have a career. They have a catalog of hits.
Oh, yeah.
And Gautier, like, man, 20 years from now, we're going to have to, like, apologize for the fact that that song was a hit. Like,
yeah.
Our kids are going to hear that and be like, is this what you liked? Like, the way...
Incense, peppermint. Well, it's the same thing, man.
Yeah,
Don't
Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
And then there's people like... There's people like, buying that Bobby McFerrin record and like, ugh, this is like, he's just slapping his chest and like flicking his cheek to make a pop noise. Like, I wanted songs about how you're telling me to do one thing instead of another thing.
This is your falling down moment. This is your with the Bobby McFerrin CD in the record store.
Banging on the gate at Sam Goody. Like, it's after hours.
That gives you an idea of how old and long ago it was. So you're at a Sam Goody. Sam Goody. You're at a Blockbuster Music. Just let me in.
Well, I didn't want to like, yeah, I didn't want to be silly with it. I didn't want to say a Best Buy.
Right. Okay, of course, of course.
I wanted to put us in the time. Sam Goody.
Sam Goody.
Man, I thought about going to, I'm losing my train of thought here. But like, I was walking past Highland Mall the other day and I was like, hey, maybe I should go in. And then I immediately thought, hey, no, I shouldn't. Because even if the things that I want to be there are there.
Lids.
Yeah. Yes, I need to buy some hats or some like giant lollies. But like, even if the things that I wanted to be there were there, it wouldn't be the same. But I remember that sort of those glory days of the mall when, pardon the expression, but the mall had it all. Like, we could go there.
Why do you think I have this tattoo?
Hitler was right.
Oh, man.
You need to get that changed, buddy. You need to go to that tattoo parlor in the mall. Yeah, no, yeah. I know. That's what I did.
Uh-huh.
We got some tweets.
Oh, well. Yeah,
that's why I'm not ignoring you. I was going to read some tweets. We have at Jortician, friend of the show, Aaron.
Friend of the show, yeah.
Says, Weezer's trajectory is alarmingly similar to the Offspring's Yikes. I disagree.
Uh-huh.
Because Smash was a catchy album, but it didn't set the world on fire.
Right.
The way that the Blue album did. But they are sort of like the thing that wouldn't die. Like, apparently they have a new video out. Like,
oh, thank God. Wait, I don't.
Oh yeah, it's like this song about like partying on a bus, and
you don't say.
And they filmed it on a Cap Metro. Hold that thought.
My chin is rested on both my fingers, just right under my chin. You can't see it anymore.
Right under a shredder. And at Bohonkus13 asks, "Hey Dave. How come Mac doesn't like me? Well, because your tweets are stupid." And that concludes the Twitter portion
of the show.
I don't know why he doesn't like you, Bohonkus. If I had to guess, I would say that. But it just, you know.
It could be that. It could be a whole host of equally good reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't seen this one before. P. Wilson 13 asks, what about bad lead singers with good bands, Billy Corgan and Smashing Pumpkins?
Boom.
Apparently, he's playing basketball now.
NBA Jam.
No, sorry.
Sorry.
I don't know how I feel about Smashing Pumpkins, to be honest with you. Like, I go back and forth. Because when they first came out, I was like, yeah, this is junk. But then, like, a couple of years after Melancholy, I was like, oh, Melancholy wasn't so bad. Let me go revisit Siamese Dream. Oh, this isn't so bad.
Yeah,
but then having to sit through the circus sideshow that is Billy Corgan, you lose a taste for what Smashing Pumpkins is.
Sure,
and I think that's sort of that's what's wrong with kids today. we know too much about our celebrities and our stars. Like, as much as I would love a Mystique, like, because there have been a lot of bands these days, or maybe not a lot. But there have been some bands these days where I'll hear a song on the radio and be like, hey, this is pretty catchy. You know, I kind of like this. This is decent. And then you see them on like MTV or in an interview and you're like, no, thanks. I'd never want to hear the song again.
Yeah. I think there's something to that for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know.
Okay.
Well, no. Like to go into that, you know, because I mean, artists have to promote and they've got to be out there.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, it's more important, you know, than ever, the, you know, visibility. But, like, I don't know. I think that's, you know, can be detrimental if you've got a particularly just loathsome person who happened to write a catchy song. And it's just like, oh, boy.
Yeah. I get to use this once a show. There's one thing. Do you have to be such a douchebag about it? Like,
yeah.
Because you think about, like, when Maroon 5 first came out and it was like the, this love. Taking
it's totally
catchy song.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, it'll probably be in my head now that I've sung
three bars of it.
Yeah, exactly. All night. Probably singing a karaoke tonight.
Tears running down your face. Just
slowly stripping my clothes off.
A grim view of things to come. Sorry.
A rear view of things to come. What? But you hear that song, completely harmless song, you know, nice.
Yeah.
And then you see Adam Levine on Entertainment Tonight, and you're like, hey, I hope that guy dies in a fire. Like, that I start and build around him.
Jeez. It's the Wicker Man.
Yeah, exactly.
The bees!
I want to send him to an island of all women. I don't know.
He would love that.
Oh, man. That's what we need, a reboot of the Wicker Man.
Starring Adam Levine. We're done.
He just tries to cut a path through an island of ladies.
A bevy of women. Well, let me. I'm gonna flip the script. If you don't mind.
472-5667, by the way, is the number.
I was having a conversation. I was talking with a few. I've been talking with a few people about this, mm-hmm. but there's this trend. So we have, you know, like this is like popular music. You have like music that's catchy, mm-hmm. but is pretty substantively uninteresting.
Okay.
Like it's like the lyrics aren't particularly great. It's not particularly, you know, thoughtful.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of like more like alternative indie music, mm-hmm. where it's like all atmosphere.
Okay.
There's like nothing catchy about it.
Right.
It's all like trying to build this like.
It's oral art.
Yeah. It's exactly. Uh-huh. It's like it's all just sort of like this, like it's all just churning sonic landscapes. Mm-hmm. It all sounds like Bruce Springsteen in the mid '80s. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
It's kind of like, I mean, even going back to like really cheap synth strings.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. See, I think you give them far too much credit. Like, because, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean.
Oh, no. But like, so I don't know what, like, but the lyrics are like beautiful and mm-hmm. like, it's pastoral, just great. I mean, it's fantastic, like fantastic lyrically, substantively very, you know, rewarding.
Yeah.
But there's like nothing to latch onto. People, I don't know. I think people need to tell indie musicians to write things that people can sing along to.
Yeah.
But you can like hum to. There's nothing wrong with that. Like,
and I feel like I'm going to speak from a place where I shouldn't be speaking from because I have no musical talent or ability.
Right.
I have a golden throat, but that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm like the Velvet Fog 2.0.
Also on your business cards.
Velour Fog. For a new age. But I almost want to say that that sort of, you know, beautiful lyrics, but atmospheric instrument. Digitalization reflects a lack of instrument talent on their part.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe not a complete lack, but just, I don't know. Like, I feel like pop music is completely undervalued in the way that you can construct a catchy tune. Like, that's very hard to do.
Yeah.
But creating a mood that just sort of is organic. Or maybe, you know, not generic, but, you know, it sort of envelops the music or envelops the lyrics.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, what am I trying to say here? I don't know. I don't value that as much. Like, very hard to impress me because it's just like, oh, so you just like, a cat sat on your keyboard and then you just held that note and then you like hit a tom-tom or something.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's all very spacey and very like... Yeah, and like sort of, and I guess that goes also like that bleeds into, and I think we've talked about this before, sort of like anthemic music,
mm-hmm.
like bands that are like just trying to write these like huge, like these.
Oh, like Arcade Fire.
Yes, like Arcade Fire.
Oh,
like,
did I say something I wasn't supposed to?
No, well, I don't know. They're probably not listening. But
I just want, you made a face like, oh, this girl I'm seeing loves Arcade Fire or something.
No. No. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like when. It's like when you have like an album of 10 songs and each of them is trying to be like this like giant soaring anthem.
Yeah.
None of them are. Because you've like taken it up to this like, mm-hmm. like dynamically there's nothing going on in your record, even though everything is going on.
Yeah.
Like they like build to these like grand crescendos of like, you know, huge like epic music. But when it's like an entire album of that.
Yeah,
like
you expose it as a template.
Exactly. It ceases to, it actually nullifies all that work that's been done
yeah.
to like build this like great, you know, this great mood or whatever you're going for.
But then again, Arcade Fire is not going to be like, why do you build me up? Like, they're not going to, although, man, if they did. Look.
Look.
That wasn't for anybody. I was trying to get a point across with that music.
And I understand.
With my weird Frankie Valli impression. Man, can I tell you one thing real quick?
Sure, I hate
the fact that Jersey Boys is a popular Broadway musical. Because now I can't like Frankie Valli. Like...
Okay, sorry. My follow-up question. I didn't have an initial one. But what is Jersey Boys?
Oh, Jersey Boys is the lavish Broadway musical about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. And it's just... it's their music.
Is it the story of his life?
I don't want to say it's... It's sort of...
It's basically the Road Warrior, but Frankie Valli is the is the Mad Max character. Get to work on that Broadway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
They live in a post-apocalyptic world without pink dinner jackets. And these four gentlemen
come out of the wasteland. Just walk away. Walk away from the jackets.
But it's sort of like, I want to say it's a story about... a guy that is, and you know, Frankie Valli's songs tell the story. Like they sort of assembled it together to tell the story. Like Rock of Ages, basically.
Oh, goodness. Well,
I want to say it's like Tommy in a weird way, but I might be completely wrong. If somebody knows, tell me. Just put me in my place. I don't care. But like,
I'll take it.
Oh yeah, I'll take my lumps. Are you kidding me? But Frankie Valli and Four Seasons. They wrote fantastic pop songs.
Oh, like, of course.
Very catchy stuff. Very, you know, timeless. There's a timeless quality to them now. But now that it's a hit Broadway musical, and now that Becky in Accounts Receivable has the original cast recording.
With her funky fireman calendar.
Yes, exactly. It's sort of, it ruins it for me. Like, and that's a problem with me. Like, if I don't like the people who like the thing I like, I won't like the thing I like.
Yeah, that's rough.
Hey, we'll be right back. Actually, you know what? Let's take a break.
David Hatta, A Life in Radio.
Yeah. The end of that tombstone is going to say 2012. I forgot what year it was. I was like 2010. Let's see.
We're taking a musical break.
Yeah, let me just check Twitter real quick, and then I lost this thing that I had open. But yeah, we'll come back. We'll finish out the rest of the show. 472-5667, or we're on Twitter. At Mascot Wedding. Let's do some Royal Headache.
Do it.
This is the third song I'm playing off the album, which means I'm going to retire it. I'm putting it on the rafters. But congratulations, Royal Headache. You have written my favorite album of the year. And it's going to be hard to top. This is Distant and Vague. More Mascot Wedding Show after this. With more Mascot Wedding Show, I'm David Hatta, and sitting in for Mac Blake is
Andrew Rosas.
Yes, and we just heard Royal Headache from their self-titled debut. That was Distant and Vague. Fun stuff for your musical ears, as opposed to your regular old ears.
Oh man, running start back from the break.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God he took that rest. The number is 472-5667 if you do want to call in and be a part of the show. Or we're on Twitter at Mascot Wedding. We got nobody new, so. Oh, what?
What?
This?
Huh?
Hold on.
Just half a mo.
Oh.
Oh.
I got a text that I can't read on the air.
Boo.
No, you don't want me to read it on the air.
No. I'm saying. Boo, because you can't.
Not, yes, exactly.
Not that you. I'm booing you, chiding you for not reading.
No. Go ahead, boo me. I feed off your hate.
You're like LeBron James.
Hey, congratulations to him, by the way. I mean that in all seriousness, like, because he needs my congratulations. Because
he needs your congratulations.
Right.
And his lowest point, he needs
exactly
someone to reach out.
We fall so we can get back up again. But it really was one of those things where, you know, when he made the move from Cleveland to Miami, the way he did it was very off-putting. It rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, myself included. And when they lost to the Mavericks last year, I sort of, like, had this fantasy that he would go to the finals every year and never win.
Right. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
Like, just like every year.
Eat all the donuts. but he won.
Yeah.
And like there was a moment where I was like, forget that guy. But then 5 minutes later, I was like, yeah, he's the best player on the planet. Good for him. Like the win cleared the debts. I was like, okay, now we're back to basketball again.
Yeah, I had a real, like, his move from Cleveland to Miami, you know, rubbed me the wrong way, and as it did a lot of people. And just, like, you know, his attitude about the whole thing. And I was like, I wanted the Thunder to win.
Yeah, of course.
And that's here. You know, I wanted them to come out on top because I think they're good guys and great, amazing, amazing athletes and basketball players. Mm-hmm. And the Heat won, and I was like, okay, well, meh. Like, all right, well, there's next season, you know, next season of basketball. And it was just kind of a thing, and I, like, really didn't think about it too much. And then I heard, and then LeBron James had to open his mouth, and I was feeling okay about the Heat winning.
Yeah.
And LeBron, like, the first, I guess they asked him, like, when they're up on the podium right after they won the game, it's like, how do you feel? Like, how did you feel, you know, when the clock ran to zero and you knew you guys had won? And he was like, I'm not going to swear, but he said, it's about time, basically. Uh-huh. It's about time. And I like got tunnel vision. I was like, wait, what? About time? Like, winning was like a foregone conclusion. Uh-huh. It was just like, okay, well, now the formalities of having to play hard against amazing athletes, it's just like, oh my gosh, when is this trophy going to be in my hands?
Uh-huh.
And it just really, really put a bad taste in my mouth. I was like, about time? Not, I felt so unbelievably happy and grateful that I could play with a team this great and come this far and win this championship playing against another amazing group of athletes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, they teach you how to speak. Like, they teach athletes how to, like, graciously speak in front of, like, when they're asked, you know, questions about, you know, their performance and stuff. They go through classes to, like, speak eloquently and, you know, express sentiment that is, you know, in a tactful way. It's about time.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know what you were going to say.
Role model.
I hadn't heard any of his post-game stuff.
Oh.
So I was, before you said that, I was willing to forgive him a lot of stuff. Because even if he had said, like, hey, it felt great to, like, silence the critics and, like, shut the haters up. Because if anybody had haters, it was him. Like, he, you know, there was a lot of people who just turned off on the, you know, one of the greatest players on the planet.
Sure.
And that's hard to do. And just have that chip on your shoulder, I would have totally forgiven him if he had approached it that way. Just like, man, it just felt good to go out there and win and just like not worry about the headlines and not worry about all that. I would have understood.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be like, it's about time. Like,
it really was just like, ugh, golly.
You're a gross man.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Have some class. It really was. It was just like a statement that lacked all the class and tact you would expect from a world championship, world-class athlete.
A classy guy like a Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Why are our heroes such... Why are our sports heroes just so...
Man, I don't know. Time will... You know what? I hope... Someone has to be writing, like, the definitive biography on Michael Jordan.
Oh, man,
that thing is going to be the best book ever. It really is.
It's going to be a... You won't be able to put it down. You'll read it all in one sitting.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, think of... Like, just an analog for, like, who else is beloved in what they do? Or just who else is so great at what they do? Like, if... I can't... Like, a Walter Cronkite biography...
Right.
Was just like, oh, yeah, he was a womanizer and, like, stabbed 8 people. And, like,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gambled away his kids, that sort of thing. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You would be dumbfounded. But just, you see it coming. It's on the horizon. You know everything this guy has done.
Yeah.
Like, he's tried to hold it together for so long. This thin veneer of just, hey, I'm a good guy. Space Jam, Hanes t-shirts, that sort of thing. But underneath, he's just seething. Like, he is just this creep.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best.
I guess what I'm saying is that book is going to be amazing.
Pre-order it for me on Amazon.
Yeah, whenever it comes out. Like, that might not come out until after he is
moved
on.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, I mean, like, the Walter Payton book was the same way.
Yeah.
And, man, you talk about a guy like, I didn't see that coming. And even the book was sort of like, because, they released a book about Walter Payton last year.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a tell-all, but just in that way that, oh, yeah, he slept with people when he wasn't at home with his wife. Like, okay, I get it.
I don't condone, but I'm not shocked. Right. Like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, the hardest thing to swallow was just the fact that this was Walter Payton. Like, Walter Payton was the nicest guy.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, but yeah, they had to wait till he died to write it.
Right. And well, I think that's sort of going to be, and I think that's going to be the, you know, when sort of all the details of Michael Jordan's life and career come to the fore. I think that's going to be, that's what's going to be so interesting about it, is because it's sort of known that he's not a nice guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a jerk, but he's also, yeah, like the most beloved athlete of all time. Like, because was the best basketball player of all
he's
time.
He's a worldwide brand.
And was like the first of though of that. Of
oh,
like,
yeah.
Of like an athlete being a brand. Like,
oh, people forget how in the toilet the NBA was, like, in the 80s. I mean, you had Magic and Bird, but nobody was watching.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, later, like, the Bad Boys and the Pistons, that sort of thing. But it was really when Jordan became popular.
Superstar. Like, the first, like, superstar athlete who was, like, yeah, worldwide, like, had his picture on shoes and t-shirts around
the
globe.
He's a logo.
Yeah, he's a, yeah. Yeah, that man flying through the jump man, that flying guy through there, that's him.
Which, by the way, is not a technically sound way to dunk a basketball. Come on.
No.
Feet together.
Feet together. He looks like he's falling off a cliff or doing a cartwheel to dunk a basket.
Yeah, he looks like you're playing with a Swiss Army knife. Like, hey, look what I made, Michael Jordan.
Stick a eraser in the nail file. Hey, look, he's holding a basketball.
That was very cute.
No.
We got 13 minutes left. Oh, we got about 10 minutes left, I guess, before we make way for the clear spot. I wanted to do something. We might not have a ton of time to do this, but we'll get it started. We'll see if it takes off.
You mean that 10 minutes that you just said?
Uh-huh. This preface? What I wanted to do was I wanted to preface a bit. And it's okay.
Oh, good.
The origins of this were such. I was talking to you the other day about negativity. And just how there's too much of it.
Yeah.
And just like real like cynicism. And again, I'm familiar with the first half of the show.
The first half of the show? Okay.
Erasing that. But no, like a lot of people just talk about things just to bag on them. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to try a radio swap meet. And how that goes is this. Like, if there's something you haven't done or tried or seen or read or heard, but you're on the fence about it. Like, I don't know if this is going to be good. What I want is for you to call in, tell me what that thing is, and then I want someone else to call in and recommend that thing for you. Like, I want someone to say something nice about that thing you're on the fence about.
Okay. Like, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
472-5667. I'll give you an example. Doctor Who. I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who. Anytime I've seen bits of it, I'm like, oh, this isn't for me. But people love it, and it's been around for almost 50 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there has to be something about it that would appeal to me. So if there's a Doctor Who fan out there to, like, call up and sell me on Doctor Who, that would be a nice thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I want to try this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving you that little push you need to maybe check something out.
Exactly. Yeah, because I don't want the people like, eh, yeah, that sucks.
Right.
I get a lot of that
the
on
the
show.
The Doors, blah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you know what? Hey, if somebody wants to call in and sell me on The Doors, I'll take that too.
Yeah.
Like, just
I like people passionately defending things they love or don't like. I just like people who are passionate about anything, really.
Yeah.
Look at that.
No, well, check this out. Burp. Bip. Bip. KOP, you're on the air.
Yeah. I was on the fence about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Oh, what's your name, caller?
Chris.
Chris, okay, did you end up seeing Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
No, I'm still trying to decide.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
My best interest, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I forgot the premise of this bit. I was like, yeah, tell me about it. Okay, so then let's have somebody call in. If you've seen Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, if you're the guy who saw it. Hey, Chris, while I have you on the phone. So pros and cons, what do you think you'd like about it? What do you think you wouldn't like about it?
Well, I like... From the criticisms I've heard about it, it seems that it takes itself seriously.
Oh.
In that, like, it's Abraham Lincoln, and he means business about killing vampires. It's not just, like, goofy, oh, he's Abraham Lincoln, and there's vampires.
Abolishing slavery and all that goofy stuff he did.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Takes itself really seriously.
All those larks
he
went on.
I think that's actually, like, a subtext in there.
Oh.
Not fully tasteful, but...
I don't know how I feel about that now that you bring that to light. I thought it was just going to be like, I thought he would be like, hey, I came here to do two things, like kill vampires and emancipate, and I'm all out of emancipating. Like, I just wrote the movie right there.
Dude.
How hard was that? Okay, well, Chris, we'll clear the line. We'll see if anybody calls in support of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks for calling, man.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, see ya.
I know we're gonna try to let somebody come in and call in on that. I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I have not seen the vampire Abraham Lincoln vampire.
I have not either. And I want to see it because that seems cuckoo bananas to me.
Like, oh man, completely bananas. It's just like
and not in a way that like, oh, this looks like an over the top thriller. In a way that like, no, pulling the curtain back. I don't know how this movie got made. Like, who thought Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and I know it's based off a book. Who thought of publishing that dumb book? Is what I'm saying.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a guy like in the writer's room, like, man, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. This is gonna be a great movie. Bag of cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this had to have been written before memes were invented. Where it's like, I'm just gonna make this into a novel.
Well, no, because I think doesn't it? I mean, it kind of follows on that that sort of like literary, that little literary thing that was happening, where it was like, you know, Sense and Sensibility and zombies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like they, yeah, like you take like, you know, a classic piece, like, you know, an unassailable piece of classic literature, and you throw some kind of monster in it.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that, though, and I'm excusing this thing that I don't buy into to begin with. Yeah, like Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Sure. There it is. That's
You're taking a literary work and zombifying it. So you're taking this thing that isn't real and doesn't exist and making it silly. Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president of the United States. Like,
right, exactly.
It's weird to presuppose this world. Like,
yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, follow me on this. A, vampires are real. B, Abraham Lincoln's the greatest vampire hunter of all. Stay with me. That's it.
Just like swinging doors, yeah, spinning swivel chairs.
Why
just
did I have this pitch meeting in a saloon? But yeah, that's a lot of track to lay.
It is a lot of track to lay. You're right about that. There are so many buys. There's just two huge buys. Uh-huh. Like, okay, you have to buy that vampires are real, and you have to buy that Abraham Lincoln hunted them. Like, yeah. It would be different. Like, I mean, it would be slightly different. Although I know it would be much different if it just took place during like the Civil War, like during Lincoln's presidency, and it was just some like American Van Helsing type.
Yeah.
That just like, killing vampires like in the deep south. Like, yeah, that would be like okay, I mean, but no, this is the 16th president who had a secret life as the killer of the undead.
I'll tell you what, man, I don't want to play poker with the guy who wrote Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, because that is like the greatest bluff of all time. Because all anyone had to do was like, because that title sold the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
if anybody asked him a question after that, it's like, all right, guys,
gotta go.
The movie is Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. All right, what's it about? Crap.
I got nothing.
I got to think this over. KOP, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I was calling about your, not Vampire Hunter, but you said to call in and defend something.
Yeah.
And I really disagree with your opinion on The Doors. I think they're one of the all-time great classic rock bands.
What's your name, caller?
This is Nathan.
Oh, hey, Nathan. Okay, so how do you feel about The Doors? Sell me on The Doors.
Well, I think you have to. I think Morrison was a really good frontman. I mean, I think you can look at some of the lyrics, and sure, some of them are kind of silly if you just write them out on paper or whatever. But
like lyrics are created.
Yeah, like the snake in the ancient lake or whatever. You know, there's a lot of it's kind of silly, but I think the same could be said about a lot of rock music. Like, for example, the Weezer track about Beverly Hills. I mean, that's kind of stupid lyrics.
Oh, really, hey, that's the worst song.
yeah, we are not arguing with you there at all.
Yeah, we spent
friend.
5 minutes talking about how bad that song is.
Yeah, but I think the same could be said about a lot of other, you know, great rock bands. Some of the lyrics are, you know, it's not necessarily poetry per se.
Oh, no, I agree with you, but you're talking about, like, you know, for example, Weezer, who had built up a catalog and then had a hiccup like Beverly Hills, versus yeah. a band like The Doors, whose stock in trade was that sort of mysticism and other plane of consciousness. Like, that was, those were their songs. And like, I would even go further, and you know, more to Andrew's point, he said that The Doors, you know, were very accomplished musicians around Jim Morrison.
Yeah, a great band. And I would even, I'll even give you that, like, in terms of like, if you want to think about like what you said, like frontman, yes, like on paper, terrific frontman, charismatic.
Yeah.
Let's say in my, like, say. I mean, to, not to me, but I mean, you know, it was intense, like had some mystique, like had, you know, and so he had that going for it. It was, it is just 100% not for me. Like, it,
oh,
like,
totally.
So I can see your point, and I appreciate that.
But. And I'll say one thing, because we're up against it, but I appreciate you calling.
Right.
I like two Door songs, and they weren't written by Jim Morrison.
Which one?
It was Touch Me, and what's the other
I like
one?
That one? Oh, you know, I like Touch Me too. It's kind of non-traditional.
Yeah,
a little bit different than the rest of their stuff, but
yeah, it's a pop song. Like, they really should have just been, like, forgettable. They should have been Strawberry Alarm Clock and had one hit and gone away.
You know, that's the thing. I think a lot of the backlash against them is because they're so popular, yeah. too.
Nathan, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off. We're coming up against it, but I really appreciate this, and maybe we will continue this another time.
The debate can continue.
Cool, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Good caller.
Nicest guy.
Nice
you
guy.
You kidding me? One of the nicest guys. Crap! We're going to run over. I apologize to Linda in advance. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter @mascotwedding. Andrew Rosas, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, man.
This was a total blast.
It was. It was very good.
Yeah, we had too much show. That's the problem.
Too much show.
And we got to make way for the stupid clear spot.
Ooh, hey!
Oh, I know she's there. but we are going to go out with the Cribs from their new album, In the Belly of the Brazen Bull. This is Come On, Be a No One. For Mac, I am David. Goodbye, Andrew.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Austin. See you next week. Come on, I'll be-